Today's reading from the Gospel, that John reading, it starts where the disciples are gathered together in a room. Now, this took place on Sunday evening, so Jesus' tomb had been found empty that morning. And with the exception of Mary, nobody had seen him appear yet. And John is careful to tell us that the doors of the house were locked, and yet somehow Jesus came and stood among them. And he said, "Peace be with you." Those who had followed Jesus, the people who had spent the most time with him, they were completely overwhelmed. They were sad. They were devastated. They didn't know what to do next. And on top of that, they were afraid of what the religious authorities, not to mention the Roman Empire, might do to them. They were in despair. What should they do next? So maybe it should come as no surprise that Jesus came to see them. He knew they would need help, and he loved them, and he came to reassure them. He greeted them with words of peace, and then after they had looked him over and they were convinced that it really was Jesus, he said, "The Father has sent me. Now I send you." They didn't even have time to ask, "Where? What? When?" before Jesus gave them the answer. John tells us he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, it wasn't just breath. And the preposition is translated imprecisely here from the Greek. He didn't just breathe on them. Jesus breathed into them. In fact, the word that's used here in the Greek tells us that this is the same breath that God used to give Adam life. The Holy Spirit, who had been present from the beginning, is now breathed into them, and it is the Spirit who will drive their mission from then on. In John's gospel, the Spirit comes as a comforter, a guide, an inspiration. And then we have the book of Acts, written by Luke. And in Luke's telling, the Spirit is a bit more dramatic than that. The first reactions to the fire and the speaking in other languages on that Pentecost morning range from amazement to bewildered to sneering at those who had obviously gotten into the wine. And then we also read this morning from 1 Corinthians, where the Spirit is depicted in yet another way. Paul tells us that the Spirit brings unity and bestows gifts. So what are we to make of all this? What does it mean that we have all of these different descriptions? Well, one thing it means is that what all these have in common is that the witnesses trust that the Spirit will act, and the Spirit acts. The Spirit seems to show up in so many unexpected places and in many different forms. It seems to me that depending on what we need or what God knows the best chance of getting our attention in any given setting will be, that's how the Spirit seems to appear. But the question is, do we recognize the Spirit at work in our lives? Because the question is not whether the Spirit acts. The question is, do we acknowledge it? In our faith tradition, we don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, with the exception possibly of Pentecost and Holy Trinity. We don't talk a lot about it. And Barbara Brown Taylor says that we tend to keep the Spirit in the back room. And we do that not because the Holy Spirit is shy, but because she is dangerous. The Spirit can indeed bring peace. The Spirit can also move to speak for God, move us to speak for God, and to speak out against injustice. And the Spirit can lead us into uncomfortable and perilous places. The Spirit can also inspire us to use those gifts that are named in 1 Corinthians, gifts that empower, gifts that are meant to be used together with the gifts of others, so that the power of God is at work in our homes and our schools and our cities and the world. The truth is, the Spirit is always with us, every moment of every hour. The enemy of the Spirit is fear. Fear causes us to wonder, doesn't the Spirit have more important work than me? Fear causes us to think that the Spirit could ever actually leave us alone. The Holy Spirit is at work whether we believe or acknowledge it. But what a great blessing it would be for us to pay attention and to recognize the Spirit's presence and work. The most important work that the Spirit does is that work that Jesus prayed for at the end of his life. Do you remember hearing that? Jesus prayed, "Father, make them one, as you and I are one." And he actually repeats this sentiment three times in the same prayer. Make them one. Unity among Jesus' followers. It seems like a great idea and so obvious, and yet from the very beginning we have struggled. We look back at these stories of Jesus and his disciples, and we hear things like, "Jesus, who's your favorite disciple?" And, "Look, that group is doing it wrong. We know how to worship." And we still do things that way today. Case in point, the long-standing divide among various denominations. So this year, as I mentioned, we mark the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the church's Reformation. The beginning, because it is a continuous process. And contrary to what you might have learned elsewhere, the Reformation is not exclusive to Lutherans or even to Protestants. 500 years ago, the wheels were set in motion for a renewal, a reimagining for the whole church, including the Roman Catholic Church. When we celebrate Reformation, we are not celebrating a splitting off. We're not celebrating division. We are celebrating the work of the Holy Spirit, who is even now forming and reforming the church, preparing for the arrival of the kingdom of God. In the letter to the Corinthians, which we read today, Paul writes about one church, one body, one Christ. In Acts, Luke quotes from the prophet Joel, "The Spirit of God is poured out on, or we might say breathed into, all people, both sons and daughters, young and old, slaves and free. Gender, age, and social standing have no bearing, no place in the kingdom of God." That is a dangerous message. That's the kind of thing that makes the Holy Spirit a threat to this world. And today we are called to be witnesses to this world. We are called into community with our sisters and brothers in Christ. We are called to join together, focusing not on what divides us, but on who unites us. Specifically, on this day, we celebrate Father Bernie's presence here later this morning and Pastor Don's presence at St. Anne's as a sign of our congregations, our two congregations' commitment to unity in Jesus Christ. The only way that we can achieve unity, actually the only way that we can ever even have faith in the first place, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit who enabled the disciples to finally realize who Jesus truly was. And it is the Spirit who will drive us forth as witnesses to the world. And I've sometimes been asked, "Pastor, how can we tell if it's really the Holy Spirit? After all, the Spirit appears throughout the Bible in many different ways and forms, so how should we know if it's truly God's Spirit?" Well, Martin Luther is supposed to have said once, "It could be the Spirit, but it could be gas." I don't know if he really said it, but he said all kinds of weird things. So how are we to know? How are we to know if it's the Spirit? Well, I have some ideas. If it builds unity, that's a sign of the Holy Spirit. If the voice you are hearing or the guidance that you are feeling is calling you to do something for the good of others, it may be the Holy Spirit. If it's making you uncomfortable, if you're worried that others might be upset, it could be the Holy Spirit. If it causes you to question what you once thought was certain and to think in new ways, it's probably the Holy Spirit. This week, I want you to pay attention. There will be many voices, many messages coming at you. You will have to be discerning. Listen. Consider. And be aware of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Amen.